And Patrice, I gave you a recording option too, so we can do a backup.
The recording.
We've never done backups, Jesus Christ. Oh, hello, welcome to the
welcome to the show. This is where we do backups now. And I'm just talking.
We can't be arguing over this.
I seriously hope while I've been away, you haven't been doing this professionally, because that's not the MO of this network, mate.
Hold on, let me do
sorry,
it.
We totally
The American tech
welcome to the show.
Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, all the fun of frivolity. I was about to say, well, this is not too bad, is it? 2 weeks running, but I realised I wasn't here last week. But I did the Mac show last week. I should be, fingers crossed, I'm going to do both shows this week. So I'm going to do the big show tonight, and then I should be back from filming with Network Rail in Stratford tomorrow for 4 o'clock for Mac show. But it's going to be a zoomy call. Either way, so joining me, awesome panel, the people that have been holding the network together while I've been away. Start us off, Jeffrey, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing great, and it is absolutely awesome to have you back.
Mate. And now, hang on, I really want to ask this. How close was the video that Muller posted today of the woman batting away a bear to your real life?
I would let the bear have the dogs. The bears around here are not animals that you want to go pushing around.
Well, she did pretty... so for those people that haven't seen it, there is a video kicking around on the internet of a woman whose dog got attacked by... the bear came in with the cubs. The dogs then attacked the bear, so the bear defended itself and it had a go for one of the dogs. And then the woman comes out and she pushes the bear off a wall. and it ran away, so which is pretty impressive.
It got back on the wall though.
Yeah, I know, but it got the message by that point, and she got the dog free. Pretty good stuff. But I just wondered about whether that's you and the cougars as well. Don't forget, or the lions, mountain lions.
Yeah, when I watched that bear video, the woman goes running out into her backyard, and for the whole rest of the thing, I'm just like this. Oh no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because I assumed it was going to get very ugly.
Me too.
Well, you didn't go on from there where she went back in and the bear came and huffed and puffed and blew her house down.
See, she should have made the house out of brick.
Exactly. That's right. You could see it was a straw house, although it did have a fairly secure CCTV system. Next to him, Mr. Grant, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. I'm very well. Quite a week this week. Last week I was knackered. So I bowed down. But it's all good. It's all good. Busy-ish week, but that's not too bad. Finally got to leave Tiboa Towers and go down south and saw the family.
Okay.
First time in a long time. It's lovely to see everybody now. Sort of things are lifting over here. So that's a real boost. Yeah. Not going to see all the folks.
No it's deaths sad. In the UK.
No.
No deaths in the UK for 2 days this week, I think.
Other my nieces and nephews have got so awesome. Much bigger since the last time I saw them.
Yeah, and that's the good news of it. And 75% of the population have been vaccinated once, which is brilliant as well. I've had two. So
I've got my second to come at some point soon.
Yeah, you're not old enough, that's the thing.
No, I've had my first one.
Have you had your second, Jeff?
No, not yet.
No, Jeff, second... you're not... Well,
oh, yeah.
You're
I
old
had
enough,
my
clearly,
second...
with your hearing.
It's been over a month ago now.
Good. Ian, have you had your second? 2:30.
Hey!
Hey! Hey! You're not my aunt. moving on. Patrice, how the devil are you, missus?
I'm doing good today. Very, very good. I got today off, got tomorrow off. Very long weekend. So I'm happy.
Oh, you're having a laugh.
Yeah, <it's, laughs> I mean, I haven't done this in a couple of years that I took the bridging day that we have here, but this week I decided to do it. Why not?
Oh my God, May's a bridging month.
May and June, 2 months.
May and June. June's not doing so bad. Have you been vaccinated?
Nope. I have my appointment on the 14th, so the first one.
First one.
So not yet.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm looking. I might like someone created a website here where you can look up all the appointments in the state. There might be like there was one this morning that I just was too tired to get. There would have been one for today. So I'm checking. I might
you
get
would sit
get
there
one
going,
earlier.
stuff off. It's my bridging day. I'm not going to go and get jabbed.
No, I would have done it, but it was too close to it for it to make it. So.
And finally, in this week in vaccinations, Muller.
Yeah, double vaccinated, so I'm fine. I'm a bit pissed off though. You know my e-bike that I bought on the 16th of June last year.
Right.
It's sick. It's died, and
it's 2-year in the warranty shop. Still applies.
Oh yeah, so that's the lucky device, thing. The control thing has died. Bloody Germans can't make a decent bike.
Because no, they're all on a day off. You won't get it fixed either now because they're on a week off.
I know, because the control, apparently, they've replaced one or two of the other bits and pieces, but they said, oh, we can't get this bit fixed, so can you prove you bought it within 2 years? So I said that today. So I had to provide me receipt. I didn't take it to the original shop because they were wankers. I'm not going to that, but I took it to another shop, but they also sell the same bike, which is made by Rally, but Rally are now made in Germany, aren't they? So it's high bike, and the control head has died apparently, and they said, well, we need to replace the control head, but you need to prove you bought it within 2 years to get the fix,
which you did. Yeah, we've already started.
Yeah, which I've done, so hopefully now, so I've had new brakes, new apparently The gears on the back wheel are so worn out. And he says, they asked me, do you need a new chain? I said, I'll replace the chain, whatever. And he said, we haven't replaced the chain. He says, why? The cassette at the back is worn out and we can't get one till at least January. Bloody Germans and their bloody.
I don't think that's particularly fair. I think let's not try the whole German nation just because you've got a slight warranty issue with one bike.
No, some of the parts aren't available till January for a bike that.
Yeah, but that's the world over. All the idiots that voted for Brexit, mate, are now reaping what they sow. I had some bloke the other day said to me, oh, the price of wood's gone up. Oh, well, did you vote for Brexit? Yeah, I did. Well, there you go, mate.
Yes, don't bloody know.
To be fair, I don't think Brexit has anything to do with that.
No, it absolutely does.
People in Europe are buying e-bikes like crazy right now.
No, because we're getting stuff direct from China, and Brexit has nothing to do with buying stuff from China, apart from the fact they gave an excuse to the bastards that just put the prices up for the sake of it.
Well, that's true. It's true.
Wood's coming from somewhere else that's not any part of Europe, but it's an opportunity to put the prices up. Oh, yeah, shortened supply because of all Brexit, so double the price. There you go. If you're not a Brexiteer and you, or if you are a Brexiteer and you're offended by that statement, well. The week in tech. I'm just thinking Martin Kelly sitting listening to this boiling at this point. I'm wishing he was in the chat room. Is he in the chat room? No, that's why the chat room's quiet. The week in tech. Muller clearly doesn't want first story. Who's first? Oh, straight
in. How in the world did I manage to be first?
Because you were first.
I am so out of practice of dropping a story in right away. I'm absolutely amazed that I got mine in first.
You're off. Oh, excuse my belch there. God. That probably came out, didn't it? Jeff, talk us through your story. Google's committed to AI, but its ethical AI team isn't so sure.
All right, so Google has an ethics in artificial intelligence team, and their job is to do what it sounds like and do a lot of research on ethics in AI and then make recommendations to the rest of the company about practices and implementing policies for responsible and ethical use of AI. So their boss got fired and then their other boss left, and Google has never replaced either of those people. And now they have this team that's basically just flying by the seat of their pants, trying to do their job without any guidance, without any support. And they're passing recommendations back off as best as they can to other teams. And I mean, they don't even know who they're supposed to be talking to or what the channels are to get to get messages out. And Google is saying, oh, no, 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 no. We are totally, totally dedicated to maintaining ethics in artificial intelligence. And yet at the same time, they have this team that is concerned about the future of their team. And many of the people are looking to just leave and go back into the academic world where they came from. And there you go. That's the overview of what's going on.
Isn't Google part of Boston Dynamics as well?
Didn't Alphabet buy Boston Dynamics?
Yeah.
So they're not anymore.
Was it Alphabet or Facebook?
I thought Google owned something to do with Boston Dynamics, but I could well be wrong with that. That's just a recollection.
If only we had a technology that let us look things up instantly.
Who owns Boston Dynamics and someone's tapping on your door within 3 minutes? No, I mean, we watched a film last night that's got Anthony Mackie in it. It's a Netflix original. About a guy that's a drone pilot, and he goes against orders, so he gets sent to the front to do something with Anthony Mackie. And I didn't finish the film because it wasn't very good, but there was a bit in there where they got these little dogs prancing around, and these things that they call Gumps that were AI soldiers, effectively. And I just looked at them and it was like, holy shit, that's Boston Dynamics. They looked like Boston Dynamics, Bob Dog, and that kind of stuff. So. If an ethical AI research loses its whoever's in charge of ethical AI research at Boston Dynamics, we want to pay that person a lot of money, because if that shit gets out, holy crap!
Mm-hmm. By the way, you were right. Google owned them until December last year.
Okay.
They sold it to Hyundai.
To Hyundai.
Yeah.
The Koreans.
Mm-hmm. 80% stake in that company is owned by Hyundai.
Well, let's hope that they're
and the rest is SoftBank. So,
bloody hell!
Yeah. Huh.
Did not know that.
Yeah, are we saying that the fundamental core question here, Jeff, is do we have a problem with AI? Because it is. I mean, the people who understand AI properly, from what I understand, are reasonably scared.
Yeah, I think that's the key question. And then the follow-up question is, does Google have any true sense of responsibility, at least internally, with the AI technologies that they are developing?
Wasn't that something I was talking about last week, where there was a show? Have you seen it, Ewan, about the... Are You Scared Yet? It's a panorama show. It's on BBC.
Absolutely.
It's all about AI. You need to watch that. And it was basically talking about AI in the it was talking about the how they're going to use it in war, and there was little drones and little tiny things, and they could actually charge them and actually program them to literally attach someone's head and shoot a shaped charge into the head. And so they were all joking with me, going, oh, they could just lob a grenade. But so these things are so accurate, they could actually launch them into an auditorium, and a grenade is indiscriminate, where these things would actually just...
I actually gave a quote. I gave a quote to a firm, and I had to sign an NDA before I could have the meeting about whether we were going to quote for the work. I've got to be really careful how much I say here, but basically we were going to go to Apache Land in Wales that was for the purposes of artillery checks and that kind of stuff. And they developed a drone which had a bomb capability to it. And they asked us if we could put up our... The camera system that I've got that runs on a wire, and how far that would go. And I said, we can do a half kilometer, but you've got to get the tension in the wire. If you can't get the tension in the wire, then we can't run it, but we can get up to 20 miles an hour with this thing. And he's like, right, okay. Because what we want to do is follow one of our drones as it intelligently goes through this valley and seeks out targets. Okay. And I just said to him, have you thought about using a drone for that?
How to talk yourself out of a job, eh?
Well, we didn't get the work. We didn't get the
really.
Work. So yeah, no, we didn't.
No.
Well, he hasn't come back.
Offered a drone service for that.
He hasn't officially said we haven't got the work, but as a fact, I haven't heard from him for 3 months. So I'm thinking that we haven't. He wanted our camera that runs on a wire, and I was just like, "Well, we can do that, but you need to hold the cable tense for half a mile, half a kilometer." Well, we might struggle with that. Can't it go like over, like cable cars? No, because it's held on the wire. We can't do that. Okay. I may have said too much. No, I don't think I have.
I'm just looking at that woman, though. It looks like Richard Iyer Darby. What's his name? Richard Iyer Darby from IT
Crowd. Oh, yeah, from the IT Crowd.
Richard
Iyer Waddy's sister.
Yeah. There is a
significant. I mean, because you've got the Asimov three rules, haven't you, about what robots can do?
Yeah.
Robots has moved on from robots and then has to encompass now AI. But those three rules are a little bit simplistic. And of course, we all watched iRobot, which took the three rules safe and moved it into the territory of going, well, actually, thinking about it, if you want these three rules to be good and the people that are good in the world to survive, then you've got to kill all the people that are taking too many resources and stopping the human race from surviving. Because that was a really valid point. You know, you've got so many people living off the resources on the planet. There's too many people. So if you want the human race to survive, which is one of my prime directives, I've got to kill most of them.
Yeah. It's very true.
But the thing is, the three laws are all fiction. I don't think they're building these three laws into the robots, otherwise.
No, Asimov wrote it in a book, didn't he? But he didn't write a robot. But Asimov's idea of three rules was about this three hierarchy of how you could look after the important things. Asimov didn't write three iRobot.
He did write iRobot.
iRobot was based on it, but
it was based on it. But I don't think he wrote that story.
He did.
It was originally a bookie story before it was a film. Yeah. Things existed before films.
I think he wrote the story about the three laws, but the twist at the end of iRobot isn't Asimov.
No, he wrote a book called iRobot, and you can look it up on
iRobot is related to the book iRobot in that they have the same name and it involves robots.
And the rest is that shit. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. It's not iRobot.
Yeah, the movie isn't really iRobot.
No.
Just a name only.
I just think they're all they're all Terminators.
Well, no, I think that's the thing. I think Terminator.
Become aware.
James Cameron has done us a favour there, because Terminator scared the shit out of everyone to the point that we actually do approach AI now with some kind of, that's a good point, actually. We could create robots that kill everybody.
Well, Stephen Hawking, before he died, said AI will kill us all.
He said aliens would kill us all.
He also said so many things. He also criticized AI, that it'll get out of hand. So
I mean, to be fair, just because you're smart doesn't mean that you know what you're talking about.
If you need to watch that BBC program on a Panorama.
Patrice, but it does help.
It does help, but I mean, you can be a genius in one area and have no clue about another. I mean, Einstein said some like really bad things about stuff. Like not everything he said was gold.
No, it's the same with everyone.
Like quantum mechanics was something that Einstein rejected and said, no, it's not true and it's all bullshit and whatever. And
yeah, because it didn't agree with his theory, but we've realized wasn't everything. But he didn't know his theory wasn't everything.
No, he didn't agree with it on a belief and a fundamental level. It wasn't about his theories. He just didn't agree with it. And I mean, he was proven wrong. Is that not everything that someone smart says is true?
Yeah, but if you talk to someone in science, they will tell you that probably in 1,000 years we will prove Einstein wrong, the same as we proved that Newton's laws of gravitational attraction are actually too simplistic to describe
what they're simplistic, the universe but they're does. Not
wrong. Well, they are and they aren't. No, they are on and they aren't, because they cover they cover
something
emotion, yeah. But they don't, mm-hmm. and they cover why an apple mm-hmm. falls to earth. And I love the fact that yeah. we got into talking about shit that we had nothing about.
We just need Bob Beach now.
Well, no, but if you look at the slingshot effect that you get on Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, because the planets happen to be perfectly aligned for that, that was all Newtonian physics that worked that out. That was all that was needed for it.
Actually,
but if you go any deeper than Newtonian physics, then it gets a lot more complicated. And Newtonian physics is too simple, but it does describe the basic principles of planetary yeah. motion within a solar system. Accurately, is my understanding of it. Wrong as that may be, don't send me emails.
Just like general and special relativity covers some things, it just doesn't cover other things. Like,
mm-hmm. Wasn't a story on the BBC the other day that they discovered a new force in the universe that's really blowing everyone's physics out of the water at the moment? I can't remember the exact words of it, the theory of it, but they were really scared it's going to matter,
is it?
It was about dramas. It was about a lot of things, and they're all thinking, you know, everything's just changed. And there's one or two people from like the 50s, 60s, 70s whose work is now possibly going to be thrown out because it's now totally changed.
I've always lived by the principle that if you know nothing, then at least you know something.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah.
Oh,
that's right, so the dark matter news that I saw, I think it was last week, is that based on the current sky surveys that they're doing, they're finding that dark matter is not evenly distributed, and it's not even doing the thread thing; it's clumps, and there's no science today that explains why it's clumps. Now, well, the amount of sky that we have that they've studied so far for this specific map, it's only a percentage of the sky. It's not even half.
Yeah. I mean, it's called dark matter and also dark energy, not because it's dark, but because we have no clue what it is.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the whole reason why it's named it. I mean, it's something I thought about the other day. Science is basically you go in with a question, you do experiments, or with an idea and a question. You go to do experiments, you come out with, if you're lucky, with an answer and with even more questions than you had before.
And then it's peer reviewed.
Sounds about right.
And then it's peer reviewed and people prove you wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they can't prove you wrong, so you must be right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Then you continue. Then you take the next question.
For now.
For now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the thing with the dark... Oh, I can't remember what I was going to say now. I had a really good statement to make, but I forgot it. It was no good, I forgot it. Never mind. Moving on. No, the periodic table. So the beauty of the periodic table is the fact that we've got spaces in the periodic table that we know, because of the way that the periodic table's worked out, that there has to be an element there. But we don't know what that element is yet because we haven't found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unobtainium.
Well, that's just what people say when they have no fucking clue what they're talking about.
Yep.
Moving on. I don't know that we've actually even covered Jeff's story there. We've already moved on.
No, whatever we did, it was great. So let's just go with, we covered my story.
We couldn't agree with us more on that.
Exactly. We
covered that Richard Dyer of Derby has got sacked. That's it.
Google AI.
Okay.
And I was right about a story, but I'm 6 months out of date. Brilliant. Thank you. Antivirus from Norton to offer cryptocurrency mining.
Yeah, they're going to mine Ethereum. Yeah. Apparently, and I've got another link, I've got a slightly better version of that story here that's the Beeb have got, which gives a bit more detail. I mean, it's nonsense in a way. It's all marketing and bollocks, really. They're going to add crypto mining to their suite of products, so you can utilize the spare CPU cycles of your PC in order to mine Ethereum. Not the fact that you'd need hundreds of computers and plenty of power and all of the other many things that you need to really make any money at Bitcoin mining is, none of that really matters. But you can do it now with Norton. Fantastic. But it's weird, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it? Antivirus. Sorry, go on.
I thought a theory of you needed space, so you need loads of drives, and you particularly needed SSDs.
Well, that's if you're setting up a full crypto mine facility.
Yeah, but I thought what the Ethereum mining was that you needed loads of space, and what you do, you put up this space on SSDs. Now you need fast SSDs, and then they can dump the stuff on there.
And they use the CPU cycles off your graphics cards, don't they? I mean, that's why all those ethereal mining rigs are these strange contraptions which look like scaffolding filled with video cards, basically, and a few drives to drive the thing. But no, apparently Norton have got us. Norton are keeping us safe. I think probably in the end what it will do, it will keep those that were curious about the odd random thing away from such dubious things and not end up installing strange things on their PCs that will only give them viruses. That's probably all it will really do.
Yeah, and you can mine with a single computer, but you're not going to mine very much. Basically, what you're going to do with a single computer is just increase your electricity bill a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Really, yes. That's all as far as I could see.
Mm-hmm.
Just what bollocks.
and I mean, that is true more so today than it was 6 years, seven years ago. When we had a project about Bitcoin. Like we had a bank that was interested in Bitcoin mining, and even back then we said it's not worth it.
Yeah, there's two places where you make money in the crypto space, the crypto money space. One is if you have a massive mining farm.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is if you're selling equipment to crypto miners.
Mm-hmm. The mining farm in the UK that was stealing power.
Oh, the one that they the one
I've just thrown that one into the thing. It was also a cannabis farm as well, but it was in the West Midlands.
No, it was. They thought it was a cannabis farm, and it turned out to be a crypto mining facility.
Elon Musk won't take Bitcoin for a Tesla anymore, will he?
Nope.
Hey, that's not
because it's not eco-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, but that's not down by where the offices is it? Sandwell.
What?
Where the crypto mining was.
No. Do you want to hear a good joke about crypto mining?
Yeah.
Father goes to his son, "Why do you want to? What do you want for your birthday, son?" And his son goes, "I'd like a Bitcoin, please, Dad." And he goes, "What? Why on earth do you want $14,000 worth of Bitcoin? I can't believe that you've thought about this and come up with the idea of $15,150 for Bitcoin, when actually what you need, you know, is ridiculous. For God's sake, never ask me for $16,150 again."
That's not funny.
It's hilarious.
All right.
No, I agree. I think the thing is with Bitcoin is the fact that it's probably reached its zenith now for people who mine it. And all you've achieved is that you cannot buy a 6 gig video card on Amazon anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
Apparently, that's nothing to do with that. It was apparently before the lockdown happened, all these people that made the cards and whatever booked their space at the chip makers, and they underestimated the what they'd need, because then obviously COVID happened and everyone wanted a gaming PC and all wanted cards.
The chip maker sounds like...
No, it's a combination of things.
Mm.
The chip maker sounds like two little tiny squirrel-like characters who sing with a high-pitched voice.
I just saw this video about... they were saying that's what caused the thing, is that everyone estimated what they wanted. And obviously... things happened, and we need more now, and there was no space to build.
It's a combination of things. The shortage or like the price hike in graphics cards happened before COVID, to some extent. Not as much as last year, but to some extent, and that was mostly because of Bitcoin mining. What happened is, as you said, like it takes a couple years to build up a facility. So like the contracts usually to order like chips, they're done sometimes years in advance, or at least a year in advance.
That's what I said.
So that the fab can build that up. But as I said, it's like a combination of things. It's like the people Bitcoin mining or like just cryptocurrency mining in general. that needed that those high-powered graphics cards and everybody else wanting them too.
Perfect storm.
Yeah, perfect storm. And it's happening for everything.
Yeah, but the story that's actually the conspiracy theory is way more interesting than the truth. Every time.
Oh, yeah, it's yeah. The truth is dark. The truth is always terribly dull. Whereas where it makes the what's it far more interesting is the...
It's all aliens anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of greys.
So
yeah, we're not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Have we discovered the root of Ian's story, or have we just talked bollocks for the last 5 minutes?
Bollocks, man.
Wait, what bollocks is story?
This show,
isn't that the network?
This show is back on the rails now that I've returned.
In bollocks in tech.
This week in bollocks, yes.
This week in bollocks.
Show title.
Definitely show title.
Do you think Apple are going to publish that? I think not. I've got more chance of getting Wheel of the Analysis through.
Is bollocks a swear word, though?
Oh, they'll definitely blank so. That, mate. No, they'll blank that.
Gunthorpe, that's what you need.
Well, this is good. We've already got an explicit tag on this show because I said the F word. So, yeah, you happy we covered your story?
Yes. We don't know. Yeah, who cares?
Oh, my life.
Muller, you put the next one in. Huawei's P50 wasn't available today.
No, but I didn't put that in.
You did.
Okay, I'll put the story I actually wanted to put in then.
All right, well, let's do Patrice's because his is correct then. A giant solar sailboat is set to sweep up plastics from polluting oceans.
Yeah, so I mean, we've known about this for, I want to say, a couple of years at least, that they're like a huge like swath of plastic in the ocean, like massive amount. Someone is finally doing something about it, and I think it's really, really cool. Like, it's a solar powered sailboat, basically. I'm guessing it has solar power, but it also uses wind power, so kind of combination of things. And it sweeps up basically all the plastic that's swimming around. And it's not a lot given how much is out there, but it's impressive. It's like 5 to 10,000 tons of plastic.
Isn't there an attraction between the plastics where it clumps together, and there is actually a body out in the Pacific, which is the size of Texas?
Yeah, exactly. It's massive.
But that's a good thing. Is you know where it all is? I know it might be the size of Texas, but at least it's all in one place. You've got to see that from a satellite, surely.
Oh yeah, you can.
Yeah, it's not the only it's not the only place. Like there is plastic everywhere, but it is like. Big. Yeah, so I think, as I said, I think this is pretty cool. I wonder who's paying for this, or is it paying for itself because they just sell what they collect. I don't know, this can't be cheap.
Oh no, I've put a link into the website Sea Cleaners, so you can actually see the job, and it's a fabulous looking thing. That can't cost $10, though.
It doesn't look particularly big either, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be, right? I mean, all it does it looks like there are like a couple people on board, and the rest is just storage for trash.
I mean, it's 46 meters wide when it's widest point, I think, without riggers, it says here, width 26 meters. That's not a big sweep, is it? But how much will it store then? It's 200 metric tons of weight, or no, metric cubic meters of waste. 200 cubic meters. I don't want that. I don't want that.
But I mean, they can send ships out to pick it up, basically. Like
fifty tons, they reckon. There we go. So the plastic waste is around 50 tons. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I mean, the conveyor doesn't look particularly big compared to the plastic bottles it's picking up.
No,
that's what bothered me, but
yeah,
no, but anything is better than nothing, absolutely. Yeah. And if people are willing to back, I mean, what I'd like to see is some big corporations or some billionaires backing this and getting 10 of those things out there. That would be worth doing.
It's one of those things of talking to Coca-Cola and people like that and go, Do you want to get involved in this? I mean,
the people who make the shit can have, you can have Coca-Cola stamped all over it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're, obviously, yeah, you can. Yeah, we'll put Coca-Cola scraps down the side, and we're very happy with that. And you can pay for our machines. Not short of a bob or two, after all. So
just do something to clear up your crap.
I mean, it does say there's some science work going to go on via it as well. Place of work for institutional research from teams all over the world. Purpose of advanced knowledge in the scientific community. So basically mapping how this plastic ends up all in this one spot, basically, I think.
Yeah.
We have up to 10 scientists at a time on board the ship.
It's not a small thing, is it? But
Sea Lab.
No, I don't know.
This is pretty cool.
I'm trying to gauge the size of it, but the people that they've got on the conveyor belts sorting stuff out, it is quite a manual intensive process, but it also doesn't give you any gauge of how big the ship is.
The ship it looks is massive. It has five decks.
Yeah, and it looks like, I would say, more or less traditional bigger sailboat.
Well, it's,
so it's not a massive, it's not an, it's not like a, what is Evergreen, was it called Evergreen, I think, the big container ship that got stuck? Mm, Evergiven, sorry. It's not that size.
Is it not even close. That plastic face?
No, it's an ocean Roomba.
The ocean Roomba.
Or sea Roomba.
It's good. I like that, sea Roomba. Yeah, 56.5 meters long.
Yeah, we had the space Roomba, and we have seen sea Roombas. Yeah, I think there should be investors, and we should have, I don't know, 20 of those.
Yeah, we want some people who've got plenty of money to go, okay, I'm willing to give back to the planet, and I particularly want to see the people who've created this shite out there getting it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Elon Musk, instead of investing in, I don't know, Bitcoin or... I don't know.
Well, he won't do Bitcoin because he's not
or digging tunnels under Las Vegas.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this is one. Wait a minute.
Mueller's story finally, after posting the second story that he didn't pick again. Well done, mate. A ROM site owner made $30,000 a year. Now owes in Nintendo $2.1 million. Tell us more.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's an American based in California who is selling the ROMs from Nintendo and made an awful lot of money. Now they've sued him and he's got to pay that much money back. This goes to say that why aren't Nintendo doing this? Why aren't they selling their ROMs? Because end of the day, if they sold them, there wouldn't be a demand from a pirate to do it. And I just think this is a... Why are they not selling them? People like him are going to pop all over the place.
Everyone was going on about, you know, why haven't we got Mario on iOS? And then they brought Mario, and it wasn't Mario. It wasn't Mario Kart. It wasn't the original game. And that's all they got to do was take the original game, find a way of porting that over to iOS, and they would have made billions, literally billions. Mm-hmm. They had to come up with some other shit that was about making more money and subscription and stuff like that. And people have just switched off from it. That they haven't grasped the fact that all you've got to do is take your old shit games and make them work on iOS and you will clean up at $2.99 a pop.
Completely.
Exactly. It's exactly. Nintendo, and that's what...
they treat their properties in a very similar way to Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Where Nintendo thinks that they are a hardware maker first. And so they want to lock people into their hardware ecosystem. So if you put Mario, like real Mario, on an iPhone, where you will sell more or you'll make more money than you do just selling your own hardware, it totally makes sense. And yet they won't do that because... not their business model.
They did, but it took them a very, very long time, and I'm pretty sure there was a special backroom deal with Apple to get that even done.
But what they put in the iOS store is not the simple game. That's what they've changed the simple game. They can't. They should have just taken Mario and stuck it in the iOS store, ported across from their language to Swift, and it would have sold billions. But they haven't done that. They've had to make it a similar game with levels that are created Mario Galaxy and all that kind of shit. No one wanted to play that. They just wanted to play the original stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't just simply given us the original game. Just take the freaking card and copy it over. I know that's not as simple as it sounds, I'm sure. Yeah. But
I mean, they could have done both. Like, do something new for people who want new content, but also, like, service your loyal fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah, as said, but I mean, it took, when was that? 2016, 17, something like that?
Probably.
Yeah, so it took close to 10 years for that to happen.
I mean, I'm with the popularity of ROMs and emulation scene is a massive thing. I mean, I've been on ROM mm-hmm. Universe looking at stuff, which is the site in question. And why none of the developers are cottoning onto this, and all they do is they give us these little plastic boxes, like there was that NES little thing you could buy that you could plug into mm-hmm. your telly. It was like a shrunken NES, and I've got the shrunken PlayStation one. And again, it was that they're both very half-hearted attempts, I thought of what they could do with it. They need to make this thing and then provide the games on a USB stick or downloadable content that you can simply plug it into the internet. I mean, come on, we are in the 22nd century here, you know, the 21st century, where we just plug a thing in, click a button, say, yes, I'd like to buy that. But there's DLC galore for money-making. $2.99, have Mario Kart, whichever version it is you want, in all its 8-bit mm-hmm. glory. Lovely, there you go. Or me, I want Gran Turismo, one or another release of Gran Turismo. Clicky buttons, and I have the old yeah. I have the old version set on my nice new little console. I haven't got to go and do what I did, which was download various dubious things from the internet and then build a boot stick to bypass it to play them.
Yeah, but that's exactly the thing that Jeff said. Nintendo sees itself as a hardware company, so they want to sell whatever their console is. I mean, the Switch is, I think, the only one that is even somewhat yeah. successful right now.
The Switch is a good,
but that's about it. But yeah, they're trying to sell their own hardware. So putting it on a smartphone is not going to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they've taken a walnut or a sledgehammer to crack the walnut, and they've killed this guy. Mm-hmm. So at 2.1 million, he's going to declare himself bankrupt. They're never going to see a penny yeah. of that anyway. No. But
that doesn't matter for Nintendo. That's not the point.
Yeah, this is about sending a message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were asking, according to the article, they were asking 11.2 million for just the use of their branding, of their trademark. And they got like 400,000, I think, for it. So,
yeah. Yeah, but we're not.
I was thinking that. Like, I mean, even if the person made 30K on it a year, that's nowhere near what he has to pay now.
No, we're not condoning stealing, but no. Nintendo, wake up. Man, you have just got to put the stuff out there and let people use it how they want to use it, and stop trying to kill us off. We just
it shows you that there's demand.
There is, there is, and they're not fulfilling it, and you're stupid not to. But that I mean, doesn't
people like my missus and my kids are not particularly into gaming and things like that. But if you could give them some of the old games, they'd love to have access to those again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, why not just do that? And that would be great.
Yeah, totally.
No. Same with the arcade stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
Galaxian and MAME and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
they have to make fancier versions rather than just give us the old thing that we want so we can have 10 minutes of retro fun.
This podcast and all the others on the network are supported by TSO Hosts. Please go and support them because they support us. Simple as. We've got a very close relationship now that's lasted for a number of years. And we really do need you to look after them. Make sure you get yourself out on the socials. That's all they want from you guys is the BTN army to go out on Twitter and the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. We don't need you to do any more than that. There is an offer code, BTN20, will get you 20% off your hosting stuff with them. But please give them that social media shout out. That's what makes the difference to whether they keep looking after us. And if they disappear, we are stuffed, plain and simple. And also IMN Max, if you've got anything with an Apple logo on it, they will have a look at it and they will try and repair it for you. And they'll even try a few things that haven't got Apple logos on. They do data recovery as well as they've got loads of old machines that have been revived and given some love. And they've got a an SSD in them or a bit of extra RAM, and they're brand new machines effectively. And they've got all come with a 6-month warranty. And if you're a BTN listener, make sure you quote that and you'll get a discount there as well as. So go to them and support Matt. Again, get yourself out on the socials and give IMN Max a shout out and thank them for looking after us, because we do need people like that. We've also got our chap in the Philippines, Kyle, who does the Daily Show. We really need some sponsorship, please, for supporting him. All you've got to do is go to the website, any of the shows, there'll be a support button there, and you can give a subscription of $5, $10 or $20 a month through PayPal. And that will keep the Daily News Show on the air. If we lose the money to do that, then we simply lose Kyle, and that's the end of it, and the news show goes away. And probably the network will probably go away at that point. So please support us. We do need your support. It is much valued. Time for the cool thing. Jeffrey, kick us off.
All right. My cool thing is not a new thing. It's IFT. And the reason it's my cool thing this week is because Zoom has added IFT support. So now you can do stuff like the one that I'm setting up right now. When you start a Zoom call, it tells your hue lights what scene to set.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So
that is pretty cool.
Excuse me, and Zoom added in, or excuse me, IFT added in a lot of more under the hood scripting support. Was it last year, I think? So you can set up some pretty sophisticated stuff where it's no longer simply one action happens and triggers another action. It can be a whole series of things, more like Zapier.
Mm-hmm. Good pick. So, that is pretty cool. I've done little things in IFT, but I've never done anything particularly complicated with it. I don't know why. I'm not scared of it. I've struggled to find things. You know, it's great when you've had a play around and you get your lights to flash when your team scores or something like that. But I've never really done as much as I should with it. I should look into that an awful lot more.
You should. I mean, I'm using IFT to trigger different things just automatically for me, like some of the webcams that I have. They're off when I'm home, but I'm using IFT geofencing to turn them on when I leave, and I get notifications like when the UV index reaches a certain level, it pushes a notification to my Apple Watch. I have other things that happen on regular schedules where I want to keep track of those. So when they happen, independent of me even being aware that they actually happen, that stuff gets logged into Google Sheets for me. So I have these logs that I can go back and check dates and times to make sure that whatever the actions were actually happened. And now I'm adding in a new one with a scene from Hue to make the lights happen like they are here when I hop on Zoom calls.
Question from Tom in the chat room. Can IFTTT interact with my camera settings and drive settings in my Logitech software? It might not do Logitech, but it would certainly do webcam settings, wouldn't it?
As long as the developer has added IFT support, then it works. So I'm actually looking up Logitech right now to see if they have anything. And it does. Oh, wait, I'm looking in my own applets. Of course, I'm not going to find anything there. Hold on. Logitech. There's a bunch of stuff for Logitech that's already set up in IFT. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, if you have a Logitech circle,
you can have it automatically start recording for you through IFT. Yeah, no, there's a bunch of stuff there.
Nice.
Good pick like that. Mr. Grant, what have you got?
I've got a pick of a really useful little app that I found because I've got SetApp back again. Since I've gone back to my M1,
Never have let it go, mate.
I got grumpy, but there we go. I'm old. I'm allowed to be grumpy. And this little tool called TechSniper. I mean, one thing about all the things you can get from these guys is you tend to go, oh, yeah, that. But that truly was useful this week. I had something where I had a code in an image, and I went about to copy out the error message so I could paste it somewhere else. And it read it perfectly.
TechSniper. No mistakes. Awesome.
No mistakes. I was able to just chuck it straight into where else I wanted to stick that particular bit of text. Perfect. Time saver, massive time saver. And if I'm going on with other little apps as well, Paste is another really great one, but comes also in SetApp. I'm really enjoying that one at the moment, which is the clipboard tool.
No, excellent.
Yeah.
Jeff's already given you a thumbs up for TechSniper. So well done.
Mm. Good one. It's super handy.
It is. So useful.
I'm gonna love Mullen's cool thing.
Hold on.
Hey, Ian, I have another cool use for you for TechSniper.
Yeah.
You know, some websites prevent you from copying text, but when you need it, use TechSniper.
It will
treat the text as a graphic and then convert it back to text for you.
Easier solutions for that, but
yeah, but this is a cool one and set up.
It's there.
I don't have to do anything else. It's there.
Yeah. Patrice, what have you got for us?
I'm going to pick an app that is actually available cross-platform. It's owned by Microsoft. And since this is the time of all the developer conferences happening, I mean, next week is WWDC, Microsoft Build was last week. I think this is a very good pick for this time, and that is Visual Studio Code. It's a development environment, but honestly, you can use it for anything text-related when you need more than text edit or like one of the other. Like, what is the Microsoft thing? I don't remember even.
Notepad.
Notepad, yeah. Like, you just need something that is better at handling different formats and just doing more, like managing projects and so on. It's free. I think it was originally, if I remember correctly, a editor by, I think, GitHub created that. And then Microsoft took it over. Completely open source. It's not the best IDE in the world. There are more specialized apps like Xcode or IntelliJ or Nova on the Mac, for example. For very specific things, there are better environments. But I use Visual Studio Code for basically anything. Like, the entire BTN backend is run off Visual Studio Code because, like, I have a BTN workspace with all the projects in it, like all the little things that we have, they're all in one workspace, and I can just go in and say, okay, I need to change a config on this server. Oh, it's there, done. Super easy to manage, super powerful, has extensions and configs and like everything you need, but it's not like overwhelming. So I think it's a good app for anybody who has any, let's say, extended text needs. You don't have to be a developer. You can literally use it for anything that is, as I said, more than text edit.
And it always helps to have a slight amount of talent with that as well, though, Patrice.
Yeah, but you don't. That's the thing. You don't need it. You really don't.
Yeah, you do. Come on.
No, not for that.
I think it's a really great app. I do, and I can find it a bit overwhelming when I use it because I'm trying to find the thing I'm trying to do. But it has been. Mm-hmm. I can't fault that. It is a really, really good tool.
Mm-hmm. Patrice,
just in case you find myself a bit confused.
This sounds sort of like BB Edit to me.
Yeah.
In a sense, yes. The cool thing is available on Linux, on Windows, on the Mac. Cross-platform. Works everywhere.
Bob Beach has given you a thumbs up in the chat room saying Visual Studio is cool. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good
one. Muller. Your cool thing.
It's good, isn't it?
It's frigging the best.
It is.
When you download this one, there's a load of other ones that'll get linked.
You've got to get Blackadder along with this, and then you'll quintessentially understand 90s British comedy.
Yes.
But this one is
wonderful.
And the porridge one is really great as well.
Yeah.
Well, this one is yes, Prime Minister, and yes, yeah, well, yes, Minister, yes, Prime Minister. And anyone that knows UK politics is going to go, this is how UK politics works. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, I remember watching this as a kid, as a young adult, sorry, not a kid. And I didn't realise at the time how close to the bone it was. I mean, now I watch politics quite, I watch UK and US politics very closely. But this one is so close to the bone, it's unbelievable.
But it's made by Nigel Hawthorne, who is so deadpan as the civil servant. I can't remember Nigel Hawthorne is so brilliant in this series that and particularly if you look at Yes Minister rather than Yes Prime Minister, when it gets to Yes Minister, he comes in. He's a new MP who's been given ministerial responsibilities, and he asks for simple, logical things to be done, and he's constantly thwarted
by Nigel Hawthorne's
character. But the thing is, he tries to talk him out, and then he tries to use his ministerial power, but Hawthorne just flexes this civil servant muscle and stops everything that he really wants to do because it goes against the principle of keeping things moving. It's just incredibly good. It's such a good series.
It is, yeah. And after this one, Absolute Power is another one I want to watch. Obviously, Porridge, I've got all the other TV series, and I know them by heart, with you. 40 Towers, the same. I know all those. But
Patrice was asking about British and European politics the other day in the Slack room, and if you watch Yes Minister, you'll start to understand British politics far more.
I've seen, like, my uncle was a massive fan of Yes Minister, Yes Prime Minister, so I just sent him the link already.
Yeah, no. Channel VF has already signed up for it as well as. So. Superb.
And then there's Dad's. Actually, one that Patrice won't like is Dad's Army. Well, he might do, actually. Because the classic line from Dad's Army, which is another one I'm going to download soon.
Don't tell him your name, Muller.
So when the Nazi comes in, he goes, what your name? You're in the book. And he goes, don't tell your name, Pike.
Indeed, you can't beat it.
Oh, Porridge, you've got to download. I think with Porridge, need to download that. You've got to have the visuals because his face is so great when he does it. He sends most of his comedy through his face. So that's definitely for Jeff Gamet. Download Porridge if you can get it. It's a 70s program, but the comedy is timeless. Timeless.
It does seem to stay quite nicely, even though you think I can't work now. Oh, it still does. It's still funny.
It's still funny today. I mean, a lot of 70s comedy. I've been watching some of the stuff like Love Thy Neighbour on YouTube, and you go, oh, God, I used to love that as a kid. And I just cringe now.
Yeah, no.
Ain't Half Hot Mum as well was a bit dodgy now.
Not at all. Let's move on. We're not doing that. Jesus. My cool thing is an LG monitor on Amazon. Now, if you want to know what the link is, because I can't really show you, I can only describe it because we're on Zoom. But if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 3rd of June and scroll down to 12 minutes past 8,
cheap, isn't
you
it?
Will find it. Yes. I've set the van up as a little office. I've got a little tiny generator, which will go outside. And it'll power the van for about 5 or 6 hours on a single fuel cell. It's brilliant value for money, and it's silent. Crikey Trousers reinforced it and said it was brilliant. Little clock generator from... I'll pick that tomorrow, actually, maybe. But I've got a little desk in the van. I've got a set of books, and I've got some workshop stuff. And I've got my mouse mat that I talked about last week all set up in the van. And then I've thought, right, I just want a monitor in there. And actually what fits perfectly is my Apple monitor. But I'm like, do you know what? That's £899. I know it's not worth that now, but it's still a beautiful monitor. I don't want to lose it by sticking it into the van and someone breaks in the van and steals the van. So what I want is a monitor that actually I couldn't give a toss about. It's cheap enough that if they broke in the van and nicked it, I'd just buy another one the following day. So I got this LG monitor. It is a 25-inch IPS monitor, and it is £129.99 on Amazon, which is an amazingly good price. 2560 by 1080 pixels, 30,000 contrast ratio. It is to one contrast ratio. It is beautiful. I fired it up. And actually, I might be a bit more pissed off if they stole this than the van. The van's just failed its MOT, so it's being fixed at the minute. So this is absolutely excellent. I can't get over the quality of this thing, and it's perfect. The way that it's made, there's little... I've got like a bulkhead between the cab and the main part of the van, and it makes like a I don't know how to describe it, like an overhang that comes out into the cab where the desk is shoved in. And this thing's got a little bracket that sits inside that, but then the mouse, the screen actually sits flat against the upper part of the bulkhead. It works really, really well. It fits in the curve, effectively, what I'm saying. And it was great. And for £129, I thought, I can't go wrong with this. But yeah, like I say, the quality of it's incredible. And I've calibrated it as well. I've used my screen calibrator from the Spider.
Spider?
Yeah. And it's absolutely awesome. I'm on the road now, and I can actually sit and do a bit of work. And the other thing is I've had an electric socket put out the back, because Sharon was complaining because I've been sitting and working on the dining room table. So I'm like, right, bollocks, I'm going to go out and work in the van. No, that's not what I'm saying. No, I'm going. I'm not having it. We've had a domestic over it. So I've had a socket put out of the front of the house, and I'm going to go and work in the van. Just to make a point. No, it's not a good idea, because I'm going to boil at the moment. It's going to be like Bridge on the River Kwai in there. It's the tin box. I'll be Alan Guinness.
Next you're in the AC. Cooler. You're in the cooler, won't you?
I'll be in the cooler, which isn't very cool. So, unfortunately, my van failed its MOT, so it's got a bit of welding that he's doing for the next 2 days, and then it'll be fine. Then it'll be back.
Oh, hey, Ewan, does it have a Visa mount on the back of it?
Yes. Yeah, it's got a Visa mount on the back.
Yeah. You can actually buy a Visa mount for it.
Yeah.
With a Visa mount, it's £161. It's attached to the back of your.
I've got some Visa mounts that I bought. I bought some Visa mounts, I want to say 2-3 years ago. I was going to put some stuff in the office, and I never used them, but I didn't return them either. And I'm actually thinking about drilling 4 holes and just putting it straight through, because I've got some polyvinyl bolts. And I'll stick them in the back there, and that'll permanently mount it then, so it won't buzz or hum or anything.
I've got down there, when I'm finished here tonight, there's a mount there. I bought myself a mount there, and I'm going to rearrange my desk and get the screen sitting further back, try and give me some more room.
Yeah.
But I could do with another. I'm going to have a 21 and a 27. I was looking to, because the 32 doesn't have any Visa mounts on the back of it, which is annoying.
I was well chuffed, and it was delivered next day. So, where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
How about Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram? Also on YouTube now. YouTube.com.
How's the YouTube channel going? I retweeted your thing today.
Oh, thank you.
Amazon Sidewalk.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah, that was a fun one to do. I actually had a big rant in the middle of it.
I had to get rid of something,
and I had to cut a massive chunk out so that it didn't run for like 10 minutes, and also so that I didn't look like a jerk. And then lots of shows. Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, here on Thursdays, Mac Show on Friday. I've been on macOS Kin in a few minutes all week long this week too.
No.
Very good.
You, isn't he?
It was really interesting.
Mr. Grant, where would you be?
I'll be here on the Big Show in the Slack room. And you find me on LinkedIn, Ewan Grant, Convo.
Excellent, mate. Super.
The usual places.
Patrice, where would you be?
I'm here every week on Thursday on the Big Show, on Friday on the Mac Show. Everything I'm doing, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to really interesting people about food and food-related memories.
Excellent. Thank you. And Muller.
Muller Biker on Twitter, in the Slack room. And I've had a day off going up to Yorkshire. It's getting too much, actually, setting fires everywhere. So, But I'm thinking of going over to Colorado and batting a few bears off walls.
I want to rent out your next move.
Yeah, there are plenty.
So if anyone would like to take Muller's seat next week on the show, just send from someone at British Tech Network and do that one off. And you can. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. If you've got any correspondence that's not calling me a bad name, then send it to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com and we'll ignore it. We'll see you again next week. I'm going to do both shows live from the van next week.
There we go. Awesome.
Plugged into my new socket. Yay. And cribbing off me. I've got a 15 meter Ethernet that's going to come out of Kira's window and go into the back of the van, and I'll shut the doors and we'll have a whale of a time.
Hold on, everyone. It's not his van, it's his yacht.
I haven't got a yacht. It's my road yacht. There we go.
Road yacht.
He lives next door to the canal, and he's going to put it out the back into his yacht.
No. I don't, the problem is, if I do it from the van, I can't drink, can I? Muller, you're the policeman. If I put me bollards up that are lockable, I can prove I've got no intent to drive then, can't I?
Leave the keys in the house.
Okay. And then just get Sharon to lock it up at the end.
They've got to prove you're going to intent to drive.
Yeah. Okay. I'll figure that one out. If West Midlands police are listening, don't come past my house tomorrow, because next week.
They've got to prove the intent to drive. If the keys aren't in the van...
I'm clearly stating right now, I've got a week before the event, I've got no intent to drive.
Exactly. Here we go. Exactly. So, and I've already told you, if the keys ain't in the van, there's no intent to drive.
Right, there we go. I'll do that. Have a great week. Enjoy your weekend, because the weather's still pretty good in Birmingham. We'll see you next week for the big show. And I'm hoping I'm going to be back for the Mac show tomorrow. So there you go.
Yeah, and there will be a special Mac show tomorrow.
That's a good point. It's a very special Mac show. I'd like to explain it, but I can't. Patrice is hosting tomorrow.
I'm going
to
do it.
I'm just a passenger.
I'm going to take a piss.
Have a great weekend. are you coming along for the show, Matt Muller?
I'll come if you want.
Yeah, you've got to come on the show, because if you're going to take the piss as well as, then that's good.
Okay.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. And stop the recording.